yards. What is in the newspaper, you might see advice about cars, how to improve your game. Social media, if folks of you are, many of you I think are on the Rita Ranch Vale Forum, you'll see people looking for tradesmen, dentist, landscaper, and those ads for advice have sort of taken their own lingo. For example, you might see, let's say someone's looking for a babysitter, you might see ISO affordable babysitter. Anybody know what ISO means? Somebody got it right, in search of. And then you might see it with this other piece of acronym, ISO affordable babysitter, TIA. And for sure, it's not Tucson International Airport. What is it? Anybody know TIA? Thanks in advance. Very good. So what I hope to do by the end of this short message today is have you consider if you're asking or receiving, giving or receiving advice, that you'll add WWJD to your thinking. Anybody know what that one is? Oh boy, whew, you passed. That's good. That's good. You're on track. So why do people ask for advice? I think it's to save time, save money, save heartache. They know they're looking for someone that's already made the same mistake you're getting ready to make, and you avoid it. And so it gets to a quicker solution. But I need to tell you that just because we get advice, we don't have to follow it, because as you know, and as I'll demonstrate today in a couple of view graphs here, not all the advice out there is good, even if the guy or gal who's providing it means well. So what I want to do is start our message today by talking about advice in the Old Testament. So our Old Testament text is found in Proverbs, and it's all about advice. King Solomon wrote it, and what he did was he wrote it so that his kids could learn from his mistakes and follow it. And Luther said that Proverbs was especially good to instruct young people and teach them how to lead a good life before God and the world. Now, when we were listening earlier to the Old Testament, to Proverbs being read, the first verse said, "Whoever loves discipline loves knowledge, but he who hates reproof is stupid." To me, that sounded a little bit harsh. And so, according to the Lutheran Study Bible, the root for stupid really is a Hebrew word for cattle. So what this verse is really saying is it's human to take advice and give advice. Don't be like a beast. That's what that really means. So it's only human to do that. And as we're going to see in verse 15, the way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but a wise man listens to advice, which I think is a good core principle, to be ready to listen to advice and not all get caught up in your own counsel. Now, two thought questions for you. I hope I answer them by the end of the sermon here. Do you know when you are going against God's counsel? Think about that for just a second. And how do you recognize bad advice? And we're going to get some practice on that in just a few minutes. So there's a couple of things in the Old Testament that were not in our bulletin today. And I think one of them you'll be familiar with, but maybe one of them you won't. In Genesis 3, the serpent is providing advice to Eve. Now, the serpent is really Satan in disguise, right? And so he says, "Try it, you'll like it." Meaning the fruit of the tree of knowledge. And so what happens? She takes his advice, and what happened? Well, that's the downfall of man, and we're now in a state of guilty disobedience. But why on earth did Eve do that? It's simple. She wanted to. The fruit would be food, good food, and it was pleasing to the eye, so it was what she wanted to do. So remember that. Sometimes you shouldn't do what you want to do. Now, one you may not be familiar with is in 1 Kings chapter 12, and it's Rehoboam, who is the son of Solomon, the very person that Solomon wanted to get to when he wrote Proverbs. He's becoming king, and the folks in the kingdom wanted to know what kind of ruler he was going to be. And so he had a couple of days to figure that out and address them. So what he did was, he's inheriting this from Solomon. He goes to Solomon's wise old advisors and asked them what he should say. And they said, you should serve your people and tell them you'll serve them and they will serve you faithfully. Okay. Then he goes to his contemporaries. I call them the young guns, the guys he grew up with. And he says, well, what should I do? And they said, boy, Solomon was too easy on him. You got to be harsh. You got to tell them that you're going to double their load. You're going to increase their yoke from Solomon. So stand by. All right. So opinion question. Did he take the wise old guys' counsel or the young guns' counsel? Young guns. Right? So you can imagine what happened there. Divided kingdom. It took a while to actually get it reunited. So I've done a little research, and I want to give you some other advice that's in the Old Testament, and I'd like to have Hunter put up a slide here. These are advisory only, and it's in the Old Testament. Five top ways to find a wife. Okay, the first one, find an attractive prisoner of war, bring her home, shave her head, trim her nails, give her new clothes, then she's yours. That's in Deuteronomy. Go to a party and hide. When the women come out to dance, grab one and carry her off to be your wife. I like this. This is pretty good. All right, we did this recently in a Bible study. This is Genesis. Agree to work 7 years in exchange for a woman's hand in marriage. Get tricked into marrying the wrong woman. Then work another 7 years for the woman you wanted to marry in the first place. Guys, does that sound familiar? Okay, Exodus. Find a man with 7 daughters and impress him by watering his flock. Doesn't sound impressive. Lastly, become the emperor of a huge nation and hold a beauty contest. That is from Esther. It got cut off down at the bottom. So these are meant to be amusing sort of cherry-picked verbiage. And the real meaning of these, if you're looking to these, is much deeper than these sort of amusing things. This is not the whole story, like Paul Harvey would say. The rest of the story, let's just take the bottom one. That beauty contest, quote, was how Esther became queen, and she played a critical role in delivering Israel from darkness. So the real truth is in there. So as Mrs. Hook said earlier, with the phone connected to the Bible, this is infallible advice. So I didn't mean to belittle it at all by some humorous comments. You can go ahead and take that down now, Hunter. But the culture of the Bible is much different than ours today, so a lot of it doesn't make sense. Now, believe it or not, there's other places in the world where that still does make sense, but we're not going to talk about that today. So now the epistle advice for today. What about those people that believe they know best and don't need counsel? Well, verse 3 today says, I say to everybody not to think of himself more highly than you want to think. So the idea here is that we all have different gifts and we don't know everything about everything. So it's a good thing to come and seek counsel. And so since we did some Old Testament advice, I'd like Hunter to put up some contemporary advice and see what you think of this. Put all the cash you have with Bernie Madoff. Hide it in your backpack. They'd never search there. My favorite, just glue it back together. Your parents will never notice. Oh, this one is dangerous. They can't actually make you show up for jury duty if you don't want to go. Oh, yes, they can. And another favorite, baking soda and baking powder are the same thing. This cake will be great. Do you see any sketchy advice in there? Well, I'll eliminate the first one. I hope nobody here invested with Bernie. I know I didn't. But the other four are practical experience. Thank you. So, in any case, I want to talk now about advice in our gospel and try to get a little more serious here. I think this passage in the gospel is familiar to most of us. The Pharisees act like they're seeking advice, but they're not really, are they? They're trying to trap Jesus. And I like the way they schmooze him. Teacher, we know that you're true and teach the way of God truthfully, that you don't care about anyone's opinion, for you're not swayed by appearances. And then they ask him, is it lawful to pay taxes to Caesar or not? So there's a bit of a backstory in here. Jews of the day had three taxes to worry about. There was a sales or excise tax, there was a temple tax, and then this tax they're talking about is a poll tax or a head tax. Every adult, Jewish adult, had to pay one denarius every year as tribute to the emperor. So he was getting rich. And the Jews didn't like it. It had been a thorn in their side for a while. As a matter of fact, a person named Judas, not the apostle, led a revolt in A.D. 6 against the Romans, led a Jewish revolt. And there was a lot of bad blood out there. So what the Pharisees are trying to do is trap Jesus. So if he says, pay the tax, it'll make the Jews mad. And if he says, don't pay it, he'll make the Romans mad. So he's in a bind. So Jesus, as you know, is an amazing, amazing man, person, God, Jesus Christ. He came up with this answer: render unto Caesar what are Caesar's, and to God things that are God's. Wouldn't it be great to be able to do advice like that? He's amazing. And I think there's some good advice in here that we ought to consider. So a minute ago, we looked at some whimsical advice. And sometimes it's better not to give advice than it is to give the wrong advice. And sometimes it's better to not give advice when it's not needed or asked for. So if I were to take this golf club, I play golf fairly regularly, not very well. And occasionally, on the rare occasion, I will make a bad shot. I know, hard to believe. So let's say I'm going to try to hit this ball to that door and make it stop on a dime. I'll swing, and the ball, instead of going that way, might go that way. I don't know why. Or it might go in the right direction, but it'll land right there instead of the door. So most golfers, if they foul up, will not appreciate advice. Now, some golfers, if they go, wow, what just happened? The people that you play with might give you some critique, let's say. It won't be advice. Joe, you lifted your head up. You didn't follow through. You weren't square. But nobody that plays golf that I know of would want somebody to come over after you hit a bad shot and grab the club and say, here's the way you're supposed to do it, Joe. You know, it's just not warranted. So I want to say that if you're out there spewing advice at will and not being asked, don't be that person, okay? Don't be that person. Now, I want to put two more questions into play. How do we know that we're giving or receiving good advice, and how do we get God's counsel into the advice that we give or solicit? We talked about it earlier. This is the only source of infallible advice, and the man up above. So if we're in a position where we need advice, we should go to the Lord in prayer, consult this, and hopefully get the answer. Now, you know, I've lived a long time, I know, that the answer doesn't always come immediately, right? God's on his own schedule, and we're not to hurry him or delay him. He's on his own schedule. So after all that, you still may be confused. So my advice to you is listen to this verse in Proverbs. Proverbs 12, verse 5. It's not in your bulletin. The thoughts of the righteous are just. The counsels of the wicked are deceitful. So as the president says, this I can tell you. If you're looking for a person, you still haven't gotten your answer, and you seek counsel, there's no better place than the people in this congregation. Now, granted, the pastor's missing, so put him over there, let's say, and a couple other folks are missing. But the idea here is the folks in this room are righteous people, and they'd be a good start if you needed some counsel. Also, I think there's another bit of good news here, that if you have a relationship that is seeking and giving advice, it deepens a relationship. Does that make sense to you? You know, you're sort of bearing your soul. I need advice on this. It deepens the relationship. It also deepens the relationship with God if you're seeking advice from him in prayer and scripture. And so I think the road to discipleship is paved with relationships to both God and to one another. And I want you to remember that if you want to take anything away from this message. Another thing is, if you want to put God into the equation a little more, it'd be helpful to be more familiar with this. And so the church does offer some Bible studies, but I know sometimes your schedule won't permit. Well, here's something private you can do. We have the Portals of Prayer. I don't know if you do that, but it's a small little booklet. It'll fit in your pocket or purse. And take some time privately on your own time to read a Bible verse every day and a devotional. It won't take long, and they're on our table up front as you come in. If we happen to be out, just see Terry, and she can get you one. They're very, very interesting. And one other point, in late summer or early fall, you're going to see some more opportunities in this congregation for discipleship. So stay tuned. You're going to see it, and I think you'll like it. Now, most of you know that I am a big fan of the 20th century philosopher Will Rogers. So I'd like to put this advice up here from Will. Never miss a good chance to shut up. Therefore, following his advice, I will offer you this blessing. The peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. If our award-winning ushers would come forward, we will receive your tithes and offerings at this time.